Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, dein Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich freue mich so sehr, dass du da bist, denn heute gibt es wieder ein ganz besonderes Interview hier für dich, über das ich ganz, ganz glücklich bin, es mit dir teilen zu können, denn ich war ja in Los Angeles, bin jetzt gerade auf Hawaii und war davor für 10 Tage in Los Angeles und habe da ganz viele wundervolle Menschen getroffen und Interviews geführt, unter anderem mit the one and only Lewis House. Vielleicht kennst du Lewis House, er hat den Podcast The School of Greatness, einen der erfolgreichsten amerikanischen Podcast, ehemaliger Spitzensportler und der sich jetzt darauf spezialisiert hat, auch Menschen für ihr Leben zu begeistern. Und er ist ein unglaublich inspirierender Mensch, der selber wiederum ganz viele tolle, inspirierende Menschen in seinem Podcast interviewt. Und unter anderem war auch sein Podcast einer der Gründe, warum ich meinen angefangen habe. Und deswegen habe ich mich ganz besonders gefreut, ihn jetzt in Los Angeles zu treffen und ein Interview mit ihm zu führen. Das Interview ist auf Englisch. Du findest wie immer die Untertitel bei mir auf der Webseite und auf YouTube. Das heißt, auf Deutsch kannst du einfach dann mitlesen. Hör es dir unbedingt an. Wir sprechen über so viele spannende Themen und er ist so ein inspirierender Mensch. Wir sprechen unter anderem darüber, wie Männer in der heutigen Welt gesehen werden und wie Männer mehr in ihre Kraft kommen können, wie sie sich mehr auch mit ihren Gefühlen zeigen können. Und er erzählt ganz viel aus seiner eigenen Lebensgeschichte, aus seinen Krisen, was er daraus gelernt hat, wie er motiviert bleibt, was seine Morgenroutine ist. Und ja, wie immer sind da einfach so viele tolle, inspirierende Dinge dabei. Deswegen hör dir das Interview auf jeden Fall an, freu dich da drauf und ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz viel Freude mit dem Interview mit Lewis House. I'm so happy and grateful to have Lewis House on the podcast today, actually in his own podcast studio. So yeah. We are making a little bit of a podcast takeover. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. So we dive right into the interview. How's your morning? How do you do?
Morning's good. It's rainy, which I actually like sometimes because it's always sunny in LA. Even though you're here visiting and you don't want the rain right now, but it's kind of nice. It relaxes me. So
nice. So do you have like a morning routine you start your day with?
The goal is to get up and work out first thing in the morning. I try to get up at 6, 5:30 sometimes and work out first thing, then come back, meditate, always make my bed, and then get ready for the day. If I can do those three things, work out, meditate, make my bed, then it's a good day.
What does your meditation look like?
It's about 15 minutes long.
Okay.
It's 15 minutes long. And I went to India a couple of years ago to a place called One World Academy. Mm. And they took me through a number of processes for 2 weeks. But there was about a 15-minute meditation that I really fell in love with. And it's essentially first just connecting me to my higher self, to a place where I see the best version of myself right in front of me, the purest, most powerful, you know, most compassionate person in front of me. And I connect to that person.
Do you see like really like yourself in front of you standing there?
I see like if there was the perfect version of me right in front of me, it's staring at me and it just makes me sad because I'm not that person.
Not yet.
But it helps me strive to become that person. Yeah. I can see the energy glowing off of that person's face. I can see the posture. I can see the poise. I can see everything. The smile is so genuine. Everything is pure. And so I really reflect on the ideal version of myself. Then it gets a little crazy in my meditation because I start traveling throughout the universe. My physical body leaves and goes throughout the universe. I start touching the planets, jumping on the stars, and just finding the most peace I can find in the galaxy. And then I come back to Earth. So it's a weird weird experience, but for me, it really helps me reflect on anything is possible.
Yes.
It helps me reflect on abundance mentality. And when I start the day with 15 minutes of that, I feel really strong.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like the best way to start off, like, we're just jumping on the stars.
Exactly. I try to take my mind to places where my body will never go.
Yeah.
And if my mind can go somewhere consistently to those places, then I feel like this world is easy.
Limitless.
Yeah, it's just easier.
Yeah.
Things aren't as challenging or stressful when my mind is already gone in other places.
Yeah. And you're also more connected like to energy than to matter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's nice. So you just said that it's easier also to manifest then. Is there something you're actually wanting to manifest for the future? What's your vision for the next, let's say, 3 years?
I mean, my vision with my mission has always been to impact 100 million people a week to help them live a better life. So I have these other projects that I'm working on that I try to manifest, but the intention is really how can I create projects that support the bigger vision, which is 100 million people a week. And that could be from books or events or videos or podcasts. For me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just matters that we do our best to reach that many people and help that many people. And it doesn't need to be me. It can be someone else, but I just want to be a part of the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know a little bit of your history since I've been listening to your podcast as well. And I know that I think it's might be about 10 years ago now when your life has been quite different than it is yet.
Yeah. I mean, five, six years ago is when I started to really transform emotionally.
Yeah. So when has been, because I listened to one episode where you were talking about that you were living on your couch and your sister's couch.
Oh, that was 10 years ago. Yes.
That was 10 years ago. Yeah. So can we go back to that moment for a second?
And sure.
How have you felt back then? Who were you back then? Who was Lewis?
I was very driven to achieve my dream, which was being a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. And I was playing professional football in America. And then I got injured and my identity and my dreams were over pretty quickly. And so I was sleeping on my sister's couch for about a year and a half and going through a lot of processing, going through a lot of self-reflection of what am I going to do the rest of my life? Why did this happen to me? Why did I go through this big challenge? You know, I don't have any money. I'm broke. How am I going to make money? Is anyone going to love me because I don't have this talent anymore? I can't showcase my gifts anymore as an athlete. So will anyone love me? That's where I got a lot of my love and acceptance from. So I think for about a year and a half, I was reflecting. My father also went through a horrible accident at the time. He was in a coma for 3 months. So I didn't have his guidance or support. And I started reaching out to mentors. I started saying, okay, if I don't have my dad, if I don't have really my dream anymore, who can I find that I can learn from? And that was kind of the early starting point of, I guess, the school of greatness. I just started interviewing all the most successful people 10 years ago to learn from them. Successful business leaders, spiritual leaders, other athletes when they transition from sports into the real world. And I just started asking questions. And I wish I would have recorded all those then because they were so powerful for me. Those mentors, those lessons, their guidance is what helped me get off my sister's couch, launch a business, sell it for 7 figures, and then start the School of Greatness shortly after that. So it was those mentors that were there for me early on.
Who was one of the mentors that was most impactful for you?
God. There was 3 key mentors that helped me in different phases. One was a mentor that helped me overcome my fear of public speaking and writing. He coached me monthly on speaking in front of other people when I didn't have the confidence to speak in front of 5 people. He coached me on how to speak to 5,000.
How did he do that?
I had to learn how to feel the shame, the insecurities, the messing up. I had to feel the fear of other people making fun of me. I was too afraid to put myself out there because I didn't want people to make fun of me or judge me or criticize me. And so I just wanted to do it. And he said, you've got to go through that. You've got to be willing to accept other people laughing at you, judging you, criticizing you, making fun of you, talking about you behind your back. I think that's one of the hardest things that any human faces is the criticism and opinions and judgment of other people. And when I learned that I'm still alive, like if I mess up a speech in front of 20 people, I'm still alive. Yeah. They can all make fun of me, but I have a bigger vision than this moment of 20 people making fun of me or thinking that I'm a horrible speaker. My vision is to be able to inspire 100 million people a week. And for me to be able to do that, who do I need to become? What do I need to overcome? And I realized that this was going to be a journey. Once I realized, okay, this is going to take 6 months, a year, maybe 3 years for me to become a better speaker. And I'm going to need to go through a horrible experience after horrible experience emotionally of my ego being attacked and people making fun of me. And so I just knew that this was going to take at least a year, and I'm going to show up every single week. And if people make fun of me, they do. But at the end of the year, I'm going to come out a much better person. And he really guided me through that process. And he helped me write my first book 10 years ago as well. So he was a great mentor in showing me. He was the example. He had written books before. He was a great speaker. And so he was the example, the model that I just followed. I didn't try to recreate something. I just found someone that I liked who was already doing it well. And I said, show me the way. He was a great mentor. I had another mentor who was a famous inventor. Mm-hmm. I had developed a product. And I said, I need help. I don't know how to get this to market. I don't know how to brand this. I don't know anything. And he had taken, I don't know, 40 products to market, from idea to manufacturing to the product to the shelves, everything. And I worked for him for about a year for free. I just worked in the closet of his kitchen and did anything he told me to do. And that's how I learned about branding, design, marketing, PR, everything. I would go to trade shows with him and watch him do deals with the bigger companies. And he taught me how to be a master networker, how to build relationships, how to come up with the idea, how to name something so that people remember it. So he was very powerful in my early experience of learning about business, branding, design, and everything. Taking a product to market, selling a product before you even have it created, all that stuff. And then I had another mentor who was kind of like my spiritual compass. He was a former Olympic qualifier in a marathon in the USA. So I really resonated with him as an athlete, and he'd been successful in business. But he was a great father, great husband, great family person, and just had the most incredible morals and values. So every time I was going through a challenge in my life, I would call him, and he would just ask me questions. He would never give me the answer, but he would just ask me the right questions to make me reflect on the values I want to have in my life and who I want to be. And so those three mentors early on were really key.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful. And what would you say are now today your three most powerful character traits you have that you could build all the things you have built today?
The things that I think are my most powerful traits that have helped me build everything. Yeah. I think one is belief. I think I have a sense of belief about myself and my vision that is unwavering. Even when I feel insecure or I feel like I don't have the skill set, or I'm not talented enough, or I don't have the experience, I still believe that I'm capable of gaining the experience and putting in the work necessary to be a master at something. Mm. So I believe in myself and my abilities because I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for a greater mission, a greater purpose. So belief, I would say, is one. Second thing is my ability to understand human beings. I feel like when I meet someone, I can tap into their heart and understand them very quickly. Understand a lot about them just by asking a couple questions and reading their energy. And I think that's from years of being alone. I grew up very alone, not having any friends. And so I observed human beings from a young age. And I've been asking questions to all types of people from all over the world for as long as I can remember. When I was 5, we had our first exchange student from Brazil. We had someone from Germany actually live with us for 6 months. I had people from all over the world come and live with us because my dad had wanted to adopt exchange students for 6 months at a time. And I would just observe people my entire childhood, all through high school, college. And now, you know, I observe people for a living. And I feel like the key to success in life is relationships. So I've learned how to develop those relationships. So that'd be the second thing. I think the third thing is I'm a master manifester. And the key to manifesting for me has been being curious and being passionate. The more curious I am about other people and what they're up to, and the more passionate I am about my vision, the more I attract what I want.
Yeah.
So those would be the three things.
That's really powerful. Yeah, it's really nice.
Belief, relationships, and manifestation.
That's cool. Yeah. It's really good. And would you say you talked about your vision. You want to impact 100 million people per week.
Yep.
Is it because of your own story? Like, as you said, that as a child, you have been alone a lot and that maybe you had to find out your own way? Or where does... I mean, I have the feeling that this vision is really, really strong and really comes from the heart. So yeah. What was maybe the trigger moment for developing
that? I think about 5 years ago, I developed that because I wanted a clear mission for myself. I just kept asking myself, what is it that I'm doing? And I would ask other people, like, what's your mission? And they would say, well, impact the world. And that was too vague for me. Mm. And I said, what is a mission that I could get behind that would inspire me, that seems like it's so big, but it's also actually really attainable if I do the right steps? And 100 million people, I was just like, okay, if I could do 100 million people every week, I don't know many people who are reaching 100 million people every week right now. Like Oprah, she's not reaching that. You know, all these people, they're not reaching that on a weekly basis. They might have that reach, but is it weekly? So I just said, okay, that would be a great goal to start. And once we get there, then we can go to 500 million or a billion or whatever. But let's start with 100 million people every week. And let's track it. Let's see if we can measure it so we can really try to manifest it in a more powerful way. As opposed to just saying, yeah, I want to reach the world. No, let's really be strategic about how we're going to do that. What's the energy and time that I need to put into each medium? You know, what's going to create that the most? Is it movies? Is it audio? Is it video? Is it books? You know, what is the mechanism that's going to support that vision? And I think when we get clearer on the specifics of our dream, then it starts to unfold the path. You know, the path gets clearer. But when we are vague, like, I just want to reach the world. Well, how are we going to do that? Mm. You know, maybe your vision, I don't know, I'm just saying this, maybe your vision's to reach all of Germany, you know, 80 million people. You want 80 million Germans to listen to your content, to read your books, to come to your events. Okay, it's a specific goal. Then you are clear on, okay, what do I need to do to reach all these people? Where are they spending the most time? What do they care about? What are their challenges? How can I tap into their hearts? Maybe I shouldn't be doing anything in Asia then. It should just only be in Germany.
Yeah.
And so you just get clear on what you're going to do with your time and energy towards that dream.
And what's your why behind that vision?
I believe that I was born for a reason. And I've chosen that reason to be to make the maximum impact on people. I've just decided that's the reason. Because I feel like a calling inside my heart, there's something inside me since I was 5 years old that has pulled me to try to make an impact on people. I've always cared deeply about other people. And I've always been very compassionate and empathetic. And I just felt like I struggled for so long until I was about 18 of like, why am I here? Why am I here? When no one liked me, no one was my friend. I struggled in school. I was always challenged in the school system. And I kept asking, early on, I just said, I wish I were dead all the time. I would say this to adults, to principals, my teachers. I was like, I wish I were dead. But I feel like I needed to go through that pain and that process to understand why I'm really here. And I think I've just always felt pulled to a greater purpose, to serve humanity. And so that's what I've decided is my purpose, is the reason for me being here. And it's what makes me so excited to work really hard, to go through any adversity and any challenge. And I think without a deeper calling, we start to ask the wrong questions. When challenges come to us, we start to say, why is this happening to me? This sucks. You know, it's not my fault. Now, when I go through challenges, I say, gosh, I'm so grateful for this challenge. I just went through some stuff a few months ago in a breakup that I had. And I was like, man, I'm so grateful for this adversity because it's setting me up for something much bigger in the next few years. Without this experience, I wouldn't have the confidence in myself in 5 years when someone on the global level calls me that there's a war or there's something that's happening. I wouldn't have the confidence or the experience to know how to deal with a tough situation. So I appreciate, I don't want challenges every day of my life, but I appreciate when they happen and I'm grateful and I can reflect on and say, wow, this is happening for me. This is happening for me to learn something, to improve my life, to deepen my humanity, my humility, to let go of my ego, like whatever it may be, to purify things in my life, to get, eliminate toxic people is happening for a reason, so I can serve my mission. And so I just focus on that, the gratitude of the challenges.
That's so powerful. Just, I mean, I think that's one of the most important shifts we can do in our lives, like from this victim state to this really powerful higher self state, let's call it, where you just go like, it's my life, I'm here for a purpose, and I'm,
just choosing to be here for a reason.
Yes.
As opposed to saying, why am I here? And why did this happen to me? And, oh, it's not fair. Why did they have it better than me? Just choose a different story.
And I think this is so cool, because I think you're the first person who actually says it so clear. I think it's the first time I hear it from someone so clear. I choose it. Like, it was my choice. Because I think when I was listening, I had the thought that I think that many people then go like, okay, am I allowed to choose that? Mm. Like, you know, am I allowed to live my greatness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all are chosen to do something. Most of us just don't make the choice. So I felt like since I was 5, I was chosen for this mission. I felt like something was pulling me forward to do it. But I went through a lot of stress and pain and anxiety, which made me question, like, why am I here? Why am I in this small town? Why are my parents constantly fighting and going through divorce? Why is my brother in prison? Why was I sexually abused? Why did all these things happen to me? Why do I have no friends? Why can't I read and write? Why am I horrible in school? I would ask those things, but I just felt like something was pulling me constantly to say, this is for a bigger purpose. This is for a bigger reason. Trust the process. Yeah. You know, I wasn't listening to it that well when I was younger, but it all makes sense now. And I just say, this is the reason I was called for something greater. And I think a lot of us, all of us are called for something, but a lot of us are afraid to take that call and to move forward. I've just said, I'm going to make this my choice.
I can relate. So we have many similarities. Like, I can relate to 100%. And the picture I have now today, because I always had the same voice when I was a kid, but I couldn't, like, I didn't know where it comes from. And today, because I probably, you know, it, like, you visit your future self, or you imagine your future self is talking to yourself. And now I always imagine that me, myself, I have actually been now with my younger self talking to her.
Wow.
And it was my own voice, actually. Yes.
And that's heavy.
Yeah, but I think that maybe it was like the same for you. It was just your now actually was the voice you heard as a child. Yeah. And I think this is so powerful. And this is then actually what I do today when I feel like lost sometimes today. I just imagine that my future self, like my Laura with 80, is sitting like next to my bed and goes like,
it's okay.
It's all okay. And this gives me so much strength.
It's true though. When you talk to anyone who's in their 80s.
Yeah.
They just kind of act like everything's okay. Yeah. Like, don't worry about anything. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
Don't stress about this. And I think I try to have hindsight now as well.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I go through a challenge, I try to think a year from now, three years from now, like, none of that's going to matter.
Yeah.
It's all going to serve you in a bigger way.
Yeah.
So just take it easy.
Yeah.
And work through it and learn. Yeah.
I would like to talk to you about another topic, which I think is so important. And you just wrote a book about it, which is behind me. Well, it's not that one. Where's the mask of masculinity?
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, the mask of masculinity. So, I think it's such an important topic. And I think it's so beautifully put from you as well. How you give men the chance to see themselves differently and more powerful without their masks. So my question is, like, what do you think? Why in the first place do men wear these masks of?
It's all to protect themselves and to fit in.
Yeah.
We want to be accepted. We want to be loved, and we want to fit in with our peers.
Yeah.
You know, when we grow up as boys, it's not okay to love on someone. It's not okay to put your arm around someone after a certain age.
Yeah.
Because you'll be called whatever name that you're called. It's not okay to cry in front of other boys, because then you're looked weak. You're looked as weak. You're looked as insecure. And I think young boys, before a certain age, they do that. They cry, they hug their friends, they, you know, are compassionate, they're caring, they're giving. And then we reach a certain age where it's not cool anymore and it's not accepted. And all we want is acceptance and love. And so when we don't get that acceptance for being compassionate or being caring or being affectionate anymore, then we just say, okay, well, we need to survive. We need to fit in with our group at school, or friends, whatever it may be. We need to survive. We want to be accepted and loved. So what do I need to put on to fit in? How do I need to survive when I'm 12 to 15 or 18 or 22? And we're just conditioned that way, unfortunately. So I think it's a lot of unconditioning and unlearning the things that don't serve us, these masks that we wear. You know, some guys use humor as their mask. You know, they try to fit in by being the funny guy. Some guys try to be, you know, big and strong and try to like be the male dominant athlete, and they fit in by being successful, by making money, by getting all the girls, whatever it may be. But that's not our truest self. That's not our most authentic self. That's not who we were born to be. And I think we get disconnected from ourselves when we wear the mask all the time. These masks aren't bad things. If you want to be funny, cool, be funny. But when it's 100%, you're always trying to tell a joke when someone's parents passed away or when something really sensitive is happening, then why are you doing that? You're disconnected to humanity.
Yeah.
So it's reconnecting to our truest self and dropping the masks and asking ourselves, why are we doing these things? Why are we spending time with the people that accept us for who we aren't instead of finding the people that accept us for who we are? It's scary. It's challenging, though, because we've been conditioned for so long. So it's really just giving men the permission and the tools to understand how to process through it. And to also teach women that, because I think a lot of it, men do these things to get the approval from women. So when women continue to accept and approve of this and give that attention when they're wearing the mask, when someone's got all the money and the big house and flashy cars and they get the woman, then it's saying, oh, this is working. I'm going to do more of this. I'm going to make more money because I'm going to have more women like me and love me and accept me.
Yeah.
So I think it's educating everyone about this, connecting to higher self. Yeah.
What would you say has been the mask you've been wearing?
I mean, I've worn a lot of masks. The athlete mask for sure was my mask because my identity was wrapped around winning. And I had to win at everything, not just sports. I had to be business and relationships and life and everything. I had to be right. And I had to win because that gave me a sense of fulfillment. It gave me a sense of, okay, people are going to like me and accept me. Because all through school, I was never right. I had horrible grades. I was never the person that anyone came to for advice on homework or tests. Never right. So I was like, I need to be right at something. And sports became my thing. And it was a horrible loser. When I would lose, it was like my whole self-worth was under attack. My identity was under attack. So I became the guy that did everything to win at all costs. And it's not a pretty picture when you do that. You start to really hurt people. You start to do things you're not proud of, all that. And that was a big reflection for me. It was like, wow, my whole life has been wrapped around winning and being right.
Has there been a certain moment when you realized it, or was it more a process?
About 5-6 years ago, I started processing all of this because I was going through, on the outside, everything looked like it was great. I was successful at everything. I was making lots of money. I had accomplishments. I was, whatever, speaking around the world. Everything looked good. But on the inside, I was suffering. I had no peace. And I was going through a bad breakup in a relationship. I was going through a business breakup. I was getting in fights, playing sports. And I just started to ask myself, like, why am I doing this? Why am I so angry? Why am I so frustrated all the time? And Matt, who you just met, is my best friend and works with me. We were on a basketball court down the street, and I got in a fist fight with someone on the other team in this game that didn't mean anything. It was just a fun game. And me and this other guy got in a fight. And after the fight, I mean, it was a pretty bad fight. There's blood everywhere. I was not myself. Something else came out of me and I got so angry. And he looked at me and he goes, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. He's like, I don't know who this person is. Like, you got to change something. Otherwise, I don't want to be around this, you know? And that started to reflect for me, like, wow, okay, my best friend doesn't want to hang out with me anymore. Even though I'm this successful and everything else, but he doesn't want to spend time with me. That's something I got to look inside. So I started to do a lot of the work. I started to talk with a lot of therapist friends. I started to do meditation. I started to go to emotional intelligence workshops. I was just like, I want to learn how I can unlearn everything. Because I thought I had it all figured out. I was successful at everything. I thought I'm right. I know how to win. I know how to succeed. But in my inner world, I didn't know how to. And I went to a bunch of different workshops, and there was one workshop that got me to open up about all of my past traumas. I never talked about being sexually abused before. I didn't really talk about my dad, my parents ever. I didn't talk about all the things that kids did to me. I just kind of stuffed it in. I wore a mask. I protected myself and projected that I was okay. And I started to open up about all of it. And when I finally did, it was like the biggest release of my life. It was just like freedom. It was terrifying to share about all these things. But it was a sense of freedom and peace I'd never felt before at the same time. And over the last 5-6 years, I've just been sharing more and more. You know, I wrote a book. I wrote books about it where I share. I talk about these things on my podcast. I talk about it with friends and family all the time. And I think men in general, at least in America, really don't talk about these things, the traumas and the things that hurt them in the past or now. We don't in general talk about them. Some men do, but in general, there's not really a safe space to talk about it. I think the statistic is almost 50% of men in America feel like they don't have one guy friend they can talk to intimately about their challenges. They might have surface conversations and say like, oh, I'm stressed about my wife, or I'm stressed about my job, but they're not really talking about the trauma and the challenges. And in America, and I think around the world in general, women have more of a safe space to have those conversations. Whenever I talk publicly and I ask women, I'm like, how many of you talk once a week with girlfriends about relationship challenges and your body issues and work and being a mother and fitting in? And they're like, yes, we do this every day. You know, we have lunch together. We talk on the phone all the time. And I'll ask men, I'll go, raise your hand if you talk once a month with another man about your challenges. And maybe two guys will say, yeah, once a month we meet for like a men's group where it's like, we have to schedule it in. We have to sit down and we have to like force ourselves.
Yeah.
So imagine never talking about anything that stresses you or upsets you ever for your whole life. Imagine like the pain that is bottled up.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of men. They don't process their pain, or they process it through addiction, alcohol, smoking, pornography, or making money, whatever it may be, by wearing this mask. And I think once we start to learn how to process better, we can feel better.
Would you say that all the energy that has been somehow stowed inside of you, once it has been released, would you say that since then you are also more, that you have more energy to do the things you want to do?
I think I sleep better. Mm. I couldn't sleep before.
Yeah.
And now I go to bed in like 5-10 minutes. It used to take me about an hour or 2 hours to fall asleep. Every night I would just lay there and be like, why can't I sleep? Didn't matter how hard I worked out that day or what I did. I just would be thinking and anxious. And now it's just like hit the bed and I'm just grateful and I'm in peace and I can fall asleep. Here's the thing. The energy of anger is the second most powerful energy in the world, in my opinion, because I live with anger, resentment, and the need to prove people wrong for decades. And I would do anything. I would get the strength to work as many hours as it took, to train as hard as I could, because anger was in my mind. And I was just like, I'm going to prove people wrong. But it left me with a lot of injuries, emotional and physical injuries. It got me hurt a lot because I didn't think clearly. I would just sacrifice my body to do whatever it took to prove people wrong. So it's the second most powerful fuel that got me, you know, the accomplishments that I got, but it left me feeling unfulfilled inside. And over the last 5-6 years, it's been a transition because I feel this sense of peace and I feel a sense of like a different type of energy, a spiritual energy. But it's so foreign to me because my first 30 years of my life, I never had it. So I have to really learn how to manage it and how to use it correctly. But I believe it's the most sustainable energy there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So you would say that one of the ways men can take off the masks is to actually look what has been hurting them and to talk about it.
I think write down all the things that you've gone through that have hurt you. You don't have to show anyone what you've written down. Just write it down. You can tear it up and throw it away. You can burn it. But write down everything from your past that has hurt you. Even the silliest little things like, oh, Tommy in second grade said this to me and I still remember it. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
You know, that girl rejected me when I was 8, right? I tried to like give her a hug and she pushed me down. I tried to offer someone a Valentine's Day card and they said no. Whatever, like any little things that you feel like your childlike self was hurt, write all those things down. So as long as you can remember from every relationship you've been through, from your parents to your siblings to your friends to school, write all these things down that have hurt you and just look at them. And just say, okay, these things have hurt me and acknowledge them. I think the next step would be to have a conversation with someone eventually. A therapist or someone who can keep things confidential if you don't have a friend who can do this or a family member. Somewhere where you can talk about it. The power of communication, the power of talking about things will set you free. Acknowledging it first is one thing, but actually sharing it with someone else will set you free. It's a reason why in church there's confessionals, right? I've never done that at a church, but there's a power to sharing your pain, trauma, insecurities. And once you share it, it's like it doesn't control you anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't have power over you. Because if we can't say something to someone else, if we are unable to say something to someone else about what we're afraid of, that thing has power over us. That thing has control over us. It's only the point where I can say to you all the things I've been through, all the things I'm afraid of, ashamed of, insecure about, and say them to you without quivering my lip, without getting tight and tense. That's the moment when I'm free, when I can say something to you like, yeah, this happened. It's just like I went and got coffee. You know, it's got the same feeling. I'm not saying it's okay, these things that happened to me. I'm not saying getting sexually abused and all these other traumas were okay. And I don't want them to happen to anyone else. But if I want to have true power in the world, I can't let these things control me anymore. And I need to be able to talk about them freely without feeling insecure.
It's so, so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the problem is that we give the stories the power to control us, and then you cannot live the life you're here for.
If you're always insecure or in fear because of our past trauma or challenges that we went through, if we're like, I don't want to do this because this happened to me 20 years ago. I don't want to put myself out there because what if I fail again?
Yeah.
Then we never have full power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always actually living in the past.
Always
it's
living never in the past. Living in fear. And you can never get in flow if you're living in fear.
If today, if there is a moment, you are going to publish your own documentary soon, The Path of Greatness?
Chasing Greatness.
The Chasing Greatness. And I just imagine you have the idea for this documentary, and is it still happening that there comes up this voice that is like, Alois, like...
What are you doing?
Who are you to make a documentary, sort of, you know?
Yeah, 2 years ago I had this vision. I was like, I want to make a documentary. I've never done a movie before. I have no clue what I'm doing. But that's what I've done my whole life. Like, I didn't know how to launch a business. I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't know how to write a book. I didn't know how to do a podcast. I didn't know how to do any of these things. I didn't know how to catch a football. And then I was a professional football player.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to walk at one point. I didn't know how to talk. There's all these things that we've learned over the years that we've never been able to do any of these things. So I just continue to remind myself that there is something pulling me forward, that I'm supposed to be scared. If I'm not scared, then I'm probably not doing the right things. Like the documentary, the movie was something scary. The podcast was scary because it was before anyone else really done it. This is 6 years ago. This is way before podcasts were known, and even in America. And I was like, I've never had experience on radio. I was never went to school for this. Who am I to do this? Yeah. Who am I to do a movie? Who am I to do these things? Who am I to write a New York Times bestseller when I almost flunked out of high school? But I just keep telling myself that there's a reason I'm here. There's a mission that I have, and I'm not going to let my fears get in the way of my mission. So I also think about myself in 10, 20, 40, 50 years. And I'm like, what am I going to be proud of myself? going after the things that are scary and at least going for it. Even if I fail, it doesn't matter. At least I went for it. I just don't want to be 80 or 90 or 100 and look back and say, man, you were such a coward. Like, you could have done so many incredible things, but you were a coward. You let your past pain hold you back. You let your fears and insecurities control your life. And look what you have to show for it now. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that old man just being so, ashamed of who I was. And I don't care if everything fails. At least I said I went for it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Nice. What are you most grateful for at the moment?
I'm grateful for love, because I believe that we're all here looking to feel loved. And for a few years, I wasn't feeling it. I felt like I was constantly blocked. And I feel like I have more love in my life than ever before. So I feel so grateful to feel loved in my heart, because it brings me peace. And that's what I've always wanted, is inner peace.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Last question. What is a book that inspired you?
The Alchemist was something I read probably. I was on my sister's couch recovering, going through a transition from one dream, trying to figure out what I'm going to do the rest of my life. You know, how am I going to make money? How am I going to get off my sister's couch? And my girlfriend at the time gave me the book. I never heard of it. I never heard of Paulo Coelho at the time. And I read the book, and it just made so much sense. It gave me a sense of peace, purpose for my next step. And it reminded me that everything I need is already within me. I just have to tap into it. So it was a powerful book.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. I know at the end of your podcast, you always acknowledge the people as well. So I would love to acknowledge you for this beautiful human being you are, and for going for your vision, and for also inspiring me so much 3 years ago to start my own podcast, which is now inspiring so many people in Germany. So I'm actually helping you to live your vision.
Great. Perfect.
By reaching people.
Perfect.
And I just hope that you will be always blessed and do your thing, and just thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir dieses Interview gefallen hat, dass du ganz viel daraus für dich mitnehmen konntest. Wenn es dir gefallen hat, dann teile es einfach mit allen Menschen, die du kennst und die das Interview auf jeden Fall auch hören sollten. Komm bei mir vorbei auf Instagram, schreib mir unter dem Post von heute zu dem Post quasi mit Lewis House, wie dir die Folge gefallen hat, was du daraus für dich mitgenommen hast, was deine wichtigsten Erkenntnisse waren. Verlink Lewis, schreib ihm, wie es dir gefallen hat. Er freut sich auf jeden Fall auch von dir zu hören. Und ich freue mich wie immer auf diesen Austausch auf Instagram @LauraMarlinaSeiler. Und ich schicke dir jetzt eine riesengroße Herzensumarmung und ein Aloha hier von Hawaii. Uns geht's ganz wunderbar. Wir genießen hier sehr die Zeit und es ist ein sehr inspirierendes, schönes Arbeiten hier. Es ist einfach auch so ein spiritueller Kraftort hier auf Maui. Einfach wundervoll. Und auf Instagram kriegst du auch so ein bisschen mit von meiner Reise. Und ja, in diesem Sinne, fühl dich von Herzen umarmt. Es ist so, so schön, dass es dich gibt. Und eine Sache noch, falls du gerne tiefer einsteigen möchtest, über den Podcast hinaus quasi, kannst du gerne bei mir auf der Webseite vorbeischauen. Du findest da unter anderem das Higher Self Home. Das ist mein monatlicher Mitgliederbereich, wo es jeden Monat ein bestimmtes Thema gibt, das wir vertiefen. Das ist wie so eine Masterclass. Diesen Monat ist das Thema Money Mindset gewesen und Manifestationskraft. Nächsten Monat gibt es wieder ein neues, tolles, anderes Thema. Und wenn du gerne so ein Intensivprogramm haben möchtest, was quasi so das Intensivprogramm zum Podcast ist, so ein bisschen, ist die Rise Up in Shine Uni. Alle Infos dazu findest du auch auf meiner Webseite. Und ich hoffe, dass ich dich damit einfach auf deinem Weg, so gut ich es kann, unterstützen kann und supporten kann. Und du findest auch ganz, ganz viele Erfolgsgeschichten von Menschen, die entweder im Higher Self Home sind oder die Rusu gemacht haben oder beides. Und die ein bisschen erzählen, was sich dadurch in ihrem Leben verändert hat. Und in diesem Sinne, so schön, dass es dich gibt. Du bist ein Geschenk für diese Welt. Rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.